Matthew chapter 8, we'll be reading this morning verses 5 through 13. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. We have here before us in this passage of Scripture a Gentile who approaches our Savior, a soldier, one who no doubt was one of Israel's oppressors. He was commissioned by the Roman government. He was a Roman soldier in charge of Roman soldiers. And so would have been probably one of Israel's oppressors, although we're going to note some things about this centurion, this Roman soldier, this morning. This Roman soldier came on behalf of his slave child, who lay sick of the palsy. Slave child, if you check that word servant there, this first servant, you see that it referred to a child. A servant, a slave, but a child, nonetheless. And he lay sick of the palsy. The palsy was a paralytic. The nerves. It was some kind of nerve disease that primarily affected at least one part of his body, one side of his body. And this child lay sick of the palsy at his master's house. This master, this centurion, displayed kindness in that he watched over his servant's bed, and he, in sympathy, describes what he had witnessed of this child's suffering. He calls it, in fact, our text calls it grievously tormented by the sickness. And it had gotten so bad it appeared that he was going to die. So he seeks a cure for him, pleading his case to to the Lord. Even using the argument that he is grievously tormented. Maybe to appeal to the Lord's compassion, to the Lord's mercies, in order that it might move Jesus to compassion, to act, to heal. And he said, Lord, there's no need for you to come to my house. I'm not worthy for you to come to my house. But you're able to heal my servant without being physically present. We're told Jesus beheld his faith.
Yes.
Did you behold his faith this morning? The faith of this centurion this morning? So we want to consider some things in this passage of Scripture, and the first we want to consider is his faith. It was reverent and humble. He said, Lord, calling him the Master. He didn't even venture to come to Jesus in person. Our text here in Matthew makes it sound as though he did, but the counterpart, and we have the counterpart in Luke's Gospel, in chapter 7, turn with me there, and keep your finger in Matthew. We'll be going back and forth between these two passages of Scriptures, and you understand that there's no contradiction between what Matthew says, and there's no contradiction between what Luke says. They're just recording it from a different standpoint, and so Matthew may say some things that Luke didn't say, and Luke may say some things that Matthew didn't say. It gives us a broader picture when we compare the two. But as we look at verse 3 of chapter 7 of Luke, it said, and when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. I submit to you this morning that he had an illuminated view of the majesty of Jesus. We know his reverence, calling him Lord. But he had an illuminated view of Jesus as well. This Roman soldier entreated him. He said in verse 8 of our text of Matthew, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. In Luke chapter 7, in verse 6, we read, then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. He didn't even consider himself worthy to come unto him. And don't come under my roof either, for I'm not worthy that you come to my house. Listen, one who truly sees himself in the light of Jesus. Think back to the day that you were saved. Think back to times in your Christian life when you've seen the greatest view of Jesus and the effects that it had upon you. One who truly sees Jesus in the light sees himself in the light of Jesus. Is brought low. Brought low under his unworthiness. He realizes his unworthiness. Matthew chapter 3, in verse 11, we have recorded concerning John the Baptist and his comments. In verse 11, he said, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear." He said concerning Jesus Christ, "I'm not even worthy to bear his shoes, and he's mightier than I." Look what he said to Jesus in verse 14. "But Jesus forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. And comest thou to me?" I'm just John. Who am I? And you're coming to me to baptize you? You see? John showed forth his humility there, did he not? Amen. Book of Matthew in chapter 15 and verse 27, a reminder of the Syrophoenician woman, the Greek woman. And there again, you have to see that, you have to look at Mark's account. Mark tells us who this woman was. Matthew just tells us that she was from Canaan. But she was a Greek. She was a Syrophoenician. She was a Gentile. And she said it to the Lord in verse 27. And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." She realized that the Israelites, that the Jews considered her nothing more than a dog, which was despised in Israel. She realized that she was nothing. She said, "Just let me eat of the crumbs that fall from the table, Lord." So what a sense of humility. What a sense of being brought low when we truly see ourselves in the light of Jesus. We'll be just as this centurion. "I'm not even worthy to come unto you. I'm not worthy that you should come into my house. Who am I, Lord?" But as you see also concerning his faith, it was not only reverent and humble, but it was strong. And it was earnest. He came entreating the Lord. He came, verse 5 of our text says, beseeching him. That is, he was entreating him with urgency on the behalf of his servant. This was a sign of faith.
Amen.
As our Lord says, it was great faith. Great faith. He was persuaded. He was convinced of the ability of Jesus to grant his requests. Who knows how many healers, faith healers and physicians, so-called physicians that he had been to seeking help for this child. But then he heard of Jesus. And he knew that this was one who could perform the desired task. This Roman soldier was so convinced that there was no need for Jesus' bodily appearance. He recognized his omnipotence. He recognized the power that he had. All you have to do is speak your word. Your word is power. He recognized the omnipresence. You don't have to come physically to my house. You can be present just when you're watered. He recognized that.
In the Lord Jesus Christ,
he was convinced of the divinity of Christ. Believing that the forces of nature were definitely under his control. Under the control of this one named Jesus. He recognized him as the divine one.
Yes, he recognized him as Jesus the Creator.
Jesus the Creator was the absolute ruler of nature. As we said last week, with the man, the leper, Jesus is in control of your health.
Amen.
He's in control of my health. He gives, dispenses sickness as it pleases him. He heals as it pleases him.
John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He's the Creator.
And as the Creator, the book of Colossians chapter 1 tells us
that he holds it together. He holds it all together. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. Let me get there. Tells us, for by him, by Jesus Christ, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist.
What that word consist mean? They consist. They have their existence and they're held together by him.
You don't have to fear some catastrophe happen. It will only happen as he allows it to happen. And by the way, he said, in the last days, preceding the coming of the Son of Man, there would be divers earthquakes and various places and all these catastrophes that we see going on in the world today. They become more prevalent and more prevalent and more prevalent. Not that we haven't always had earthquakes and volcanoes and all of these things, but they become more prevalent and more prevalent. Who knew about the wildfires in California? The wildfires up there a few years ago in Georgia. They got over into the Smoky Mountains. Brother Mike witnessed that devastation there in the Smokies. The Lord's in control of all of that.
Amen.
Just when those fires were raging in Georgia, he set 50-mile-an-hour winds driving that like an acetylene torch.
Wow. The power, magnificent,
amen,
of our God.
But also this centurion's faith, it was large and it was generous.
It was on behalf of others.
Yes.
It was on behalf of his servant.
Many, many instances are recorded of this in the Scriptures of those seeking healing. Seeking help for their children.
But in my searching, I could only find this one instance where one was seeking on the behalf of his servant. Wow. That's something.
This centurion, one who had commanded had command of at least 100 soldiers. That's what the word centurion means, 100. He had charge of 100 soldiers under his command. Roman soldiers was moved by the suffering of his servant. Who knows how many servants he had charge of in his household besides the Roman soldiers? What benevolence, what compassion.
Amen.
Certainly a great demonstration of charity, is it not? A great demonstration of divine love. Turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. Yes, I know we know this passage of Scripture well, but 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where we read, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, though I have a great tongue, great swelling words, and though I speak in many different languages, many different men's tongues, and have not charity, I'm just a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, I'm great, I'm educated in the Word of God, I have greater in-depth and insight in the Word of God, and have great faith. What would have this man's faith been without love? First Corinthians 13:2 says, "I have nothing. I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, I'm a great giver of alms and gifts to the poor." We're going to see concerning the centurion that he gave gifts to the Jews. It says, "And have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." You see? So we're told in the book of Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6, that was prophets in Christ Jesus, is faith which worketh by love, by agape, by charity. The elders of the Jews, who represented the centurion's case, were moved by admiration of his greatness. Look at what Luke records for us in verses 4 and 5 of chapter 7. Said, "And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this." He's worthy. And the centurion said, "I'm not worthy." But these elders of the Jews said, "He is worthy. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue." You see, he gave gifts unto the Jews. His love and his compassion, even though he was a Roman soldier, which most Romans despised the Jews, but not this Roman soldier. He was a man of faith. He was a man not of only of faith, but of great faith. But notice some things there about his faith, but notice here
faith's reward. Faith's reward. His request was granted.
Before the elders had finished stating the request, even according to Matthew, Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." According to Luke,
he just simply went with him. We would think as we read Luke that he just, in verse 6, that he just, then Jesus went with them. That he just went without saying a word. Well, Matthew tells us that he said, "I will come and heal him." And then he went with them according to Luke. When we put the two together, we see that there was a dialogue took place and he went with them.
Before the elders arrived at the house, the servants were healed. Look at verse 10 of chapter 7 of the book of Luke. It says, "And they that were sent," those elders of the Jews, and those friends, "returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick." Now, it didn't say that after they arrived at the house that the servant was healed. No, he was already healed when they got there.
You see, when did it take place? What took place in this self-same hour, according to verse 13 of Matthew chapter 8? You see, the same hour that Jesus said, marveled at his great faith. So that is the next point. We see his faith is commended. That's a part of the reward. It was granted. His request was granted. And his faith is commended. In verse 10 of our text, he says, "When Jesus heard it, he marveled." What's that mean to you? When you marvel at something. "And said to them that followed," the multitudes that were following, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." And Luke's rendition in verse 9 is of chapter 7 is the same, about identically the same. The word marvel means to admire. Jesus admired this great faith that he had. Jesus admired the greatness of his faith. Consider that for a minute. It was greater than he was a Roman soldier. He was a Gentile. He was a heathen. And yet he had faith. He had this great faith. "I'm not worthy that I should come unto you. I'm not worthy that you come to my house. In fact, from any place that you are in the world, you can say the word and he'll be healed. You can say it from heaven and he'll be healed." Do we believe that? Do we believe that? There have been some who had cancer. He spoke the word and healed them. Now we know the large majority, he allows them to suffer. Well, am I worthy to be healed of cancer? I deserve it. How many of you here would say you deserve it? We're sinners. Even saved individuals, we sin. So if God brings His judgment upon me, I deserve it. But to some He's merciful.
Amen.
And He pronounces the word of healing to us, does He not? So He commended His faith. He admired it. This man was a Roman soldier, a Gentile. And Jesus said, I've not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. Not in my people. My people, Israel. His faith was honored with the promise of the kingdom. Wasn't it? Did you notice that? Jesus is speaking these words. He said, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel, and I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. His faith was honored with the promise of the kingdom. That's what Jesus was saying there. You're going to be in the kingdom. You're going to sit down in the kingdom of God. You're going to sit down in Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Gentiles by faith, children of the covenant. Gentiles, children of the covenant, with Abraham. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed in thee.
Amen.
Abraham. Tell them in the book of Galatians in chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. In verse 14. Verse 13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Listen, this Gentile, this centurion, this Roman soldier received the promise of faith in Abraham.
Amen.
He being a Gentile, Jesus commends his friends, does he not? We see him commending this faith of this Gentile. Well, I'm telling you, this Gentile, this Roman soldier, this Roman centurion was a friend of Jesus. Look what Jesus said to his church in John chapter 15. John chapter 15. John 15 and verse 13. He said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, no longer, no more, call I you servants. Not any longer am I going to call you servants. For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Let me ask you this. Is he making known unto you the Word of God?
Amen.
Has he making known unto you? Then you're his friend.
Amen.
Are you not?
Amen.
I'm your friend.
Amen.
He was moved. He was made an exhibition
of the saving of the Gentiles. This Roman soldier who had great faith, he was made an exhibition of the saving of the Gentiles. He said, "And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west." In the book of Luke, chapter 13, in verse 29, Luke records for us there something that Jesus said, a different instance altogether, but he said, "And they shall come from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God." They're coming from all over the world, all nations of the world, which are Gentile nations,
sitting down in the kingdom of God.
Sitting down in the bosom of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're made the spiritual seed of Abraham. We're not the physical seed of Abraham, but we are the spiritual seed of Abraham. In him shall all the families of the earth be blessed.
Through Christ Jesus, we received that blessing. You see,
so it said, we're told in John chapter 1, verses 11 through 13, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, not of the blood of an Israelite, not of the blood of a Jew,
not of the blood of your mom and dad, not of the blood of your grandparents, your great-grandparents, however many may have been saved in your family line. You don't merit salvation on the basis of blood.
Nor the will of the flesh. Oh, I witness to some, and I would love to will them to salvation, but I can't. All I can do is tell them about Jesus Christ. Tell them what he's done for me.
Amen.
Nor the will of man. Your mom and dad, and your grandma and grandpa. Doesn't matter how bad they want to see you saved. It's not of their will. But it's of the will of God. He said, "The receiving of the faith of the Gentiles is condemnation to the faithless house of Israel." Kind of what's recorded for us in Romans chapter 11. You see, Jesus had not found such faith, no, not in Israel. He saw faith. He saw it at first among the children of the kingdom. He said, saw it first amongst his own people, his own Jews, Israelites. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. How fearful is the condition of the faithless. Verse 12 says, "Cast out into outer darkness." The word darkness there, outer darkness, means obscurity. Out into obscurity. Yes, Israel has been cast into darkness, into obscurity, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled, and then a remnant shall look upon him of whom they have pierced. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Yes, this centurion had faith. He had great faith. Shall we stand? Have a song in closing.